This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's head to Tampa now and welcome Greg Aumann, who covers the Buccaneers for The Athletic in Tampa Bay. Let's start with that second quarter, that fateful second quarter, Greg, where the Bucs had those four straight drives with turnovers. What did they have to say after the game about how much that second quarter hurt?
Yeah, I mean, so much of what they did right in those first two wins was not turning the ball over. So to have the exact opposite of that, I mean, have four straight, even if that's all your mistakes for a game, you can't dig a hole that big against a good team like Pittsburgh. Even a team that's 0-1-1 by record, Roethlisberger's a guy that's going to take advantage of that. So it just probably dug too big a hole for them by the time we're done with the turnovers.
And yet still in the second half, not only do you see the team pull within a field goal, which is the final margin, but shutting out the Steelers and not allowing them any points. So what did they like about the way they finished the game?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that could have easily gotten away from them and maybe last year would have gotten away from them. You know, they're kind of shorthanded on defense. They were down a couple people today. But yeah, to make some adjustments and keep things in check and pull back. I mean, this was close enough where, you know, there's fans asking if they should have punted on 4th and 10 with about 3 minutes to go, or whether they should have gone for it. Just for that to be the question you're asking in postgame is a wild thing when you're down 20 at halftime.
Now comes the question about quarterbacks, because Jameis Winston is done with his suspension and will be with the team come Tuesday morning. And Fitzpatrick ends up with yet another 400-yard passing game, though we did to speak about the interceptions. What does Dirk Koetter do, Greg?
Yeah, he didn't want to tip his hand too much. He said he doesn't want to say anything publicly until he's talked to Jameis in person. Wanted to check the injury report and make sure there weren't any surprises there. But I think the momentum of these first three games, it's still very much Ryan Fitzpatrick's job right now, especially with a short week, coming off a Monday game, going on the road to Chicago. I think they stick with the hot hand right now. I mean, he definitely made some mistakes that he hadn't made, but put the team back in position with a chance to win and when they really shouldn't have at the end of this game.
When you think about the way that the offense has flowed with Fitzpatrick, what stands out between the differences with him as the quarterback and then the team with Jameis Winston under center?
Yeah, there's a couple differences. I mean, they changed play callers this year. So Todd Monken, who's the offensive coordinator, is calling plays this year. And he's definitely been more aggressive, gone for a lot more on deep balls. They have 5 pass plays of 50 yards or more already in 3 games this year, and they had 2 of those in the entire previous 2 seasons. So they've been much more successful not only in going deep, but in executing those plays. I think the protection's a lot better. Maybe wasn't as good tonight. But all around, I think when they're throwing the ball deep, guys are making plays and making catches when they need to deep. So it's a lot of things around Fitzpatrick that are probably helping him play as well.
Greg Aumann is with us from Tampa, covers the Bucs for The Athletic. After nearly 2 decades of the Tampa Bay Times, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the excitement around the team and the 2-0 start. Now, of course, picking up the first loss. But what was it like to be in the stadium there on Monday Night Football with a bunch of excited fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's nearly ideal to have a Monday night game when you're a surprising 2-0 team. You've beaten the Eagles, you've beaten the Saints. The craziness of the Fitzpatrick post-game beard and the open jacket with the chest hair caught fire. I mean, it was so funny. There were so many fans with fake beards. It's like a ZZ Top cover band for 60,000 people tonight. Just all these beards. All the fun with that T-shirt. I mean, Steven Stamkos from the Lightning is on the sidelines, and he's wearing a Fitzpatrick T-shirt. So it's really fun to see how well the city has kind of embraced this and enjoyed this. You know, Fitz is a guy who probably didn't really have any expectations of starting. You know, came back and was happy to be in that mentor backup role. And obviously with Winston's suspension, had an opportunity here that could have easily just been 3 games and done. So for him to take this and do so much with it now that, that they don't have to really rush Winston back and can stick with him is not anything anybody really saw coming here.
It's interesting the relationship between Ryan and DeSean Jackson, and you mentioned his post-game garb, which actually belonged to DeSean after their second win. At least that's what Ryan said. And then DeSean goes on NFL Network, and he talks about Ryan being fire, and you don't take the ball away from a guy who's fire like he is, who's as hot as he is. Did that raise any eyebrows? It sounded like he was throwing his vote for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, I mean, DeSean's a guy that's going to speak his mind. I think that probably would be the sentiment in the locker room right now, and I don't know that that's any knock against Jameis. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, no quarterback in NFL history has thrown for 400 yards three games in a row. He only had two when DeSean said it, obviously. But, I mean, even 400 yards and four touchdowns, to do that in back-to-back games, I think is the third time ever. You know, Dan Marino did it in that crazy 84 season that he had. So it's so rare to be able to click the way that he has. I mean, with the exception of maybe a 5 minute span of tonight's game for three games. So I think when you have that, there's that definitely that instinct to keep the hot hand and stick with him and see if he can do the same thing somehow against a really good defense in Chicago on Sunday.
Well, considering that Jameis is supposed to be the quarterback of the present and the future and was a number one draft pick, then how quick would Coach Cutter make the change if Fitzpatrick cools off? Let's say he only has 250 yards passing against the Bears.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tricky. It's like the Bucs have a bye week after Chicago, so there's a little bit more time. I mean, right now you have a short week, and that's kind of an easy excuse for sticking with Fitzpatrick. Mm. But if he stumbles, I mean, yeah, if this is another game where he's throwing multiple interceptions or isn't having the second half that he had tonight, you know, they still have to think of this as being Winston's team long term. It doesn't give them much to hand things over to a 35-year-old. Eventually, he's going to act like his age. So I think you enjoy it as much as you can, but you have to understand that at some point, things are going to catch up to Fitz probably here. So it'll be Winston's team again at some point, but maybe not as immediately as most people thought.
Yeah, it's. I'm not sure I envy Dirk Cutter's position. That's that's a tough one.
I mean, it's a nice. We joked 3 weeks ago that he would love to have a difficult decision to make.
Right.
You know, and it's, even after the first game, you know, you kind of said, well, if you know Fitzpatrick keeps throwing for 400 yards and four touchdowns a game, you'll have to keep the job, and not thinking that he will pretty much do that. It's like he's on pace for the numbers are ridiculous. He's on pace for like 6,500 yards and 59 touchdowns. It's a little tough to sustain that, but video game numbers for sure.
Greg Allman with us from The Athletic Tampa Bay covering the Bucks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One of the big topics for NFL fans right now and for players, both past and present, is these new rules about protecting the quarterbacks. And we saw a few more of those flags on Monday night. How much are players talking about that, Greg?
Yeah, it's definitely a source of frustration. I mean, you don't know what to do. I mean, I think there was a point there, even in the first half, where there had been five roughing the passer penalties. I mean, three against Pittsburgh, two against the Bucs. I think Pittsburgh had nine penalties for 115 yards in the first half, to where every other time, it's like it used to be, you know, the smart thing to do is just throw it deep and see if you get pass interference. Now it's like drop back and see if you can get your quarterback touched, and you've got 15 yards to show for it. So definitely a frustration, and it takes away from the natural rhythm of the game. For these pass rushers, I don't know that they know the safe way to get to the quarterback. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul had two sacks today, but he had a 15-yard penalty. Gerald McCoy had a 15-yard penalty. So there probably were more negatives to come from hitting the quarterback for the defense than there were positives today because of all these penalties.
Have you heard anything from the coaches about wanting these guys to change their approach as they pursue quarterbacks?
No, I mean, I think they definitely had to kind of try and adjust things today. And that if you're doing anything questionable, it's going to be the opposite of what you want. I mean, instead of a 10-yard loss and you're setting up second and 20, you've got a fresh set of downs and it's first and 10. I think the Bucs ended up getting 155 yards off Steeler penalties today. I mean, the first half for Pittsburgh was not what you usually think about. I mean, turnovers can change things so much, but Pittsburgh gave up 210 yards in the first half, had 115 yards in penalty, and they were still. So that's what the turnovers can do for you, unfortunately.
That is true. And it turns out to be just a 3-point game, but you wouldn't know the drama if all you saw was the final score.
Yeah,
you
that's
can,
right.
You can find Greg on Twitter at Greg Auman, A-U-M-A-N. He's now with the Athletic Tampa Bay covering the Bucks. It's great to have a few minutes after Monday Night Football. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. You have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.